afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Thursday, December 21st, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Can't believe allergies in the middle of December. I have weeds growing in my flower boxes. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. I have to pull weeds in December? Good grief. I'm ready for a good cold spell to eliminate all those nasty little green things and, you know, to get rid of allergies in December. Go figure. But anyway, it's a beautiful day. And today's the longest evening of the year, the shortest day and the longest night, and as we welcome in winter. And always on the bright side, looking on the bright side, you can now say that days will become a little bit longer, which is always good to have a little bit more sunshine to get that D3 in you to keep us healthy. So winter solstice is here, and certainly doesn't feel like it, Al.
Nope, doesn't look like it either. I'm sitting around in my Bermuda shorts and a short-sleeve T-shirt. It's not exactly wintertime. It's Texas, of course. So, but this time of year, it should be colder than what we're seeing right now.
Mm-hmm. Gold was a little warm, not hot, but warm, up $3 today, $1,269. Silver was cooler by 4 cents at $16.23. Platinum was down 2, $921, and palladium was up 10, almost 1% at $1,039. The USDX today was trading weaker, down 0.09 at 93.27. Crude oil was up 14 cents at 58.23, and I think they did try to move these markets to their, it tried, you know, the Dow tried to get up there, 25,000. It's got a pretty good shot to do it tomorrow. The Dow was up 55 points. It was up triple digits earlier in the day at 24,782. The NASDAQ is up 5 points at 6,965. The S&P was up 5 at 2,684. 10-year yield down 0.02 at 2.48%. And Euro, 119, down 0.02. And doesn't seem, I guess everybody is just sort of in the holiday mood. I think a lot of people will probably be taking off tomorrow to begin
to bury the bodies.
To bury the bodies?
Yeah. It's part of the holiday spirit, Melody.
I've
talked about this before, yeah. Anybody gets in the way of me having a Merry Christmas, I'll strangle them. I mean, we get to that. Christmas becomes final exams for the year. If you don't have a Merry Christmas, it's like saying your whole year was ruined and worthless, and don't mess with my Christmas. People get weird about Christmas, Melody. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, take the day off tomorrow to bury a few bodies. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be here at Discount Gold and Silver, so maybe Saturday. Maybe Saturday. Today, Congress, they're racing to fund the government and avert a shutdown. And there's a continuing resolution in the House that would fund the government through January 19th. This measure also contains a provision that would allow President Trump to sign the GOP tax bill immediately instead of having to wait until next year. So that was all the big to do about it. They couldn't pass the budget spending bill. They couldn't prove that. They had to get the tax bill done first, and then they had to throw in a little waiver so that Trump can sign it before the holidays. My question is, if this doesn't get signed until next year, when does the is the tax reform retroactive? Is it retroactive?
Not retroactive enough.
But
it'll probably go back into this year.
I don't know, but they're facing a midnight deadline on Friday. The House is expected to vote Thursday on a short-term bill. Of course, as I mentioned, to the January 19th. It contains $2.85 billion for the Popular Children's Health Insurance Program and $750 million for the diabetes programs and community health centers. The bill also extends the Foreign Surveillance Warrant Program, known as FISA 702, and it includes an extra $4.7 billion to fund ship repair and missile defense programs at the Department of Defense. I just want to choke these people. The continuing resolution.
You laugh at me when I talk about the Christmas holidays and the Christmas spirit. And then the next thing, you know, I just want to choke these people. Little verification. You know.
The continuing resolution is quote-unquote clean, meaning it does not contain provisions that are contentious enough to threaten the bill's eventual passage. Well, what do you think the CHIPS program was? That was a really big deal. They had to include that in order to get everybody all to sign off on it, because all the Democrats were out there whining and crying about it, and same way with some of those, the diabetes and the community health centers. Paul Ryan. We're just bringing a clean, what we call vanilla CR. No games, no sneaky things. Just a continuing resolution to get us through this moment, to get us into next year. So is what he is saying
You got to be a little more honest. To get us into the week after the next one. We're not going into next year. We're really just going...
Let me finish, Al. He's saying this time no games and no sneaky things. So every other times there's the games. He's admitting there's games and sneaky things. And I mean, it's just
Talk long enough, they'll start telling the truth, Melody. These politicians are shameless.
So it might not be as clean as I mentioned earlier. Buried on the last page is what's called a pay-go waiver. The language would allow Trump to immediately sign the tax bill Republicans passed that they passed yesterday without running afoul of rules that prohibit the government from enacting big new expenditures unless there is money in the current year's budget to pay for them. Without such a waiver, he would have to wait 2 more weeks and sign the tax bill in January. And then when the Republicans would have another 12 months to figure out how to make the expensive tax cuts conform to pay-go rules. So, you know, it's just all the same. You know? I guess when I was a kid, they used to say rules were made to be broken. Is that what was that the old saying? Rules are made to.
Some people say that.
Be broken.
Some people said that. Now they don't even say rules are meant to be read.
Yeah.
Rules are something. I don't know. Rules are made to be made. That's what they are, Melody. That's all. Take credit. I made a rule. That means I'm wise and powerful. I made a rule. Anybody obey it? No.
And, of course, NBC Universal and CNBC parent Comcast, as well as Boeing, AT&T, Wells Fargo, they all announced higher pay and bonuses for workers along with this tax bill. Well, we already talked about AT&T and the merger with Time Warner and how they're trying to stop that merger. And, of course, this with the repeal of net neutrality, it all benefits Comcast. It all benefits AT&T. Wells Fargo, they're announcing... well, you know what? Look at the hot water that they're in. And I just read that, you know, government was also going out after Wells Fargo for more penalties and fees. I mean, it's just, doesn't anybody connect these dots at all? Am I the only one in this country that can connect these dots? You know, it's just
I'm interesting, challenging. Amazing, astonishing, bewildering.
But it's but it's out there for the little people. It's out there for the middle class and the poor people. Well, I pray
the munchkins and the leprechauns, that's who are being represented by Congress, the little people. So they're doing what's best for munchkins and what's best for, dwarfs, little people. And so you should see those people riding around in Cadillacs. See a Cadillac, you've probably got a munchkin driving it. Check and see when you go down the highway. And if you don't, then something's wrong. They're really not helping the little people.
Well, anyway, it's, these are just, when you look at campaigns and the money that goes into them and the corporations that do so, and I even heard Mr. Trump say, and it could have been taken out of text because I just heard the sound bite. He could have said something afterwards or before it, but, he made a comment that this tax reform, will mostly benefit, the big corporations. Well, when I was surprised that he said that. So, I don't know.
Well, like I say, eventually, they'll all tell the truth. It'll surprise everyone. There'll be a sense of shock, but nevertheless, truth will go. The truth will out. I think that was Shakespeare's observation several centuries ago. But sooner or later, the truth comes out. Whether we live to see it or it makes a difference, I don't know. But the truth will out. And speaking of Trump, again, you mentioned this yesterday, and you're right. Trump says GOP has essentially repealed Obamacare with tax bill. You speculated on it yesterday, and you were correct. President Trump said the massive tax bill that Republicans passed on Wednesday will effectively repeal Obamacare. The individual mandate, this is Trump speaking, the individual mandate is being repealed. When the individual mandate is being repealed, that means Obamacare is being repealed. So the individual mandate is being repealed. So in this bill, not only do we have massive tax cuts and tax reform, we have essentially repealed Obamacare. And we'll come up with something that will be much better, whether it's block grants or whether it's taking what we have and doing something terrific, but Obamacare has been repealed by this bill. That is a remarkable accomplishment, all right? And it is surprising that nobody really thought about it, talked about it, prior to the vote on whether or not to pass that tax bill. Trump said he told GOP lawmakers not to publicize the repeal of the individual mandate provision for fear that this might threaten the passage of tax reform. I told people specifically, be quiet with the fake news media because I don't want them talking much about it. But now that it's approved, meaning the tax bill, now that it is approved, I can talk about it. So, I don't know, it is a bizarre sort of, it's like killing two birds with one stone. I don't know how many politicians have done that before and been able to present it to the public, but Trump is making a case. He got tax reform and he got Obamacare at the same time. Pretty remarkable.
Is that a good thing?
We're going to have to watch and see. I don't know what this tax bill is going to amount to. It's probably, I have no idea how large it is. It'll take a while for people to digest it and see what it is.
I mean, Obamacare.
Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has to. It's going to it was going to happen anyway, I think, because it's unaffordable, at least for a significant. The people who are called on to pay Obamacare, really, the majority of them can't afford it. The only people that Obamacare serves are those that are subsidized. And they're going to have to do without, because you can only put so many straws on the camel's back. Sooner or later, you put enough here. There are more taxes for you, camel. Sooner or later, the camel's back breaks or the camel bites you. And we kind of came close to that point. You can't put more of a tax burden on the people who are paying this.
And I hope this scrambles these insurance companies to create and to present policies that people can't. Well, the premiums are going to be high regardless, but at least to give the people an option, like myself, and even what Greg Hunter was talking about. I mean, I'm going to pay my first two premiums, for this year. I got my bill today, and I'm thinking, say what? $1,400 a month? Are you insane? This insurance companies think that I'm going to pay for it? It's the principle. I can pay for it. It's just now without that mandate, now I have a choice. And as I mentioned before, I was concerned, at that mandate they could fine you up to $10,000. But even still, I would have saved if I had to pay the $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because your tax bill, what did you say, $1,400 a month?
$1,400 a month. little
I think
less.
that translates into about $16,000 a year.
Yeah. Plus,
so you actually be saving $5,000 or $6,000 by not paying, even if they clip you for $10,000.
You know, and even if I got a $20,000 deductible, how much is it going to go down? A couple bucks. You know, it's just like it's insane. It's now I can afford it. What about these families, as I mentioned before, that are paying $26,000 a year for health insurance? That's probably twice their house payment. It boggles the mind.
I understand that.
And these people aren't going to pay it.
They can't pay it. That's
they
part
can't.
Of it. It's not even just a choice
for
most
people.
Oh, they
would dig it. They would
it's
find
something that's
some
unaffordable.
Way. Yeah.
And that's what's killing Obamacare.
Yeah.
It's already been on the skids, and it was just a question of time whether it took another year or 4 years or however many. It was doomed. Just the mathematics of the program has condemned it to, you know, dissolve, and it was bound to happen sooner or later. Although the program may limp on for a period of time, how are they going to fund it? That'll be the question. I mean, they could keep Obamacare for the poor, all right? And they say, okay, we're going to subsidize your health care. Where are they going to get the money? Out of the general fund? They're not going to be able to, they are unlikely to be able to find enough money from those people who continue to be in Obamacare who could go off on their own. They're going to probably leave, and they're the ones that are funding Obamacare. And who's going to fund it? You can keep it, but you're going to have to get the money out of the general fund, or you're going to have to borrow more money, cash more bonds. But as it existed and as it was intended to be self-supporting, and the people that were in Obamacare would support the people in Obamacare, that's not happening. You know, you mentioned earlier that you thought the price of insurance was going to go up now that Obamacare had been diminished. And I doubt that's true. There may be an occasion, there may be a blip on that. But again, I've talked about it a number of times on the program. It used to be that auto repairs were pretty cheap here in Texas, and they passed a mandatory insurance bill back in the 80s, and the cost of repairs to your automobile skyrocketed. And it was because all of a sudden it was paid by the insurance company rather than the guy who was driving the car. And if it was just the guy who was driving the car, you had to price your work. The auto mechanics had to price their work at a price he could afford. If it was done by the insurance companies, they could charge almost anything they wanted to, and they did. We lose the insurance, I think the prices will actually fall. We'll watch and see. Going to take a couple commercials. Be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's the next, Melody?
Well, I still have some I have lots. We have a whole year's worth of 2018 one-ounce American Silver Eagles. But it's always exciting when the new year comes out and we get the new ones. And, you know, going into the new year is always an exciting time. So 2018 one-ounce American Silver Eagles are available. And from 20-plus coins, you'll receive free shipping. No shipping on any of the Silver Eagles. This special is going to go through to the end of the year. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. So not only do you get some real competitive pricing, you also get some free shipping. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and the radio programs are archived there on a daily and long-term basis. So, what's
I've
next?
I've got a question for you.
What's that?
Well, if they coin Silver Eagles at the United States Mint, where do they get the silver? Are they buying it on the market? Are they making the coins out of a whatever reserve we have in silver or gold? Where do they get the gold and or silver that they use to make the gold and silver eagles?
Well, they just buy the plant. They have a couple of manufacturing. There's one manufacturing plant in Ohio that they purchase the plants from. Now, whether the manufacturing firm is required to buy, I think they're required to buy from U.S.
producers.
Yes. But the mint doesn't go directly and buy the silver raw, produce the rounds, and then stamp them. They buy them already processed, and then they buy the planchets. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that's something that people don't usually think about or understand, but the money is not the coin, right? The money is the gold, the money is the silver, the mass of gold, the 1 ounce of silver. That's what the money is. And when they coin the money, they're stamping it to put an image on both sides and the edges on the coin in order. And the purpose of that is to certify the quality of the coin. The purpose of that stamp into the metal is to say, we've checked it, we've assayed it, this is 99.9% pure gold, and it's 1 ounce, and blah, blah. And that was the purpose. That's what government did. It didn't make the money. It merely certified that the money, which was gold or silver, was of a particular weight and purity. That's all they did with those stamps. Over time, people began to assume that government was making the money. It didn't make it. It coined it. It's a difference. The guy that made it, well, God made it, and then somebody went out there, and they dug it out of the ground. You know, it used to be, and this is something about Bitcoin that's interesting to me. Originally, if you wanted more gold in this country, well, all you had to do is pack up your burro and your pan and your pitchfork, your shovel, and you could walk off into the wilderness as a prospector looking for gold. And if you found, let's suppose you found a pound of gold, well, you could take that gold to the local mint, and they would assay it, and they would smelt it, and they would remove the impurities, and they would reduce it down into 1 ounce or less, half ounce, quarter ounce coins, discs made out of gold. and then they would stamp it to certify weight and purity. And then they'd give it back to the prospector. It was his gold. He found it. It was his money. They just stamped it. They'd take out a fee for stamping. They'd charge him. Here's what we charged to certify what it was. But the point here, my point, is that originally the people went out and dug the gold up. Oh, you need more money? Go dig a hole in the ground. Now, that's oversimplification, obviously, and an exaggeration, because it wasn't that simple. But still, it was up to the people to make the money. The gold just certified, the government just certified it. Bitcoin is like that, in that we, the people, are going out there and finding the money. We're mining it in the same sense that once upon a time, prospectors went out and mined it out of the desert or wherever. And we are kind of creating our own currency with Bitcoin, much the same as people did in the beginning of this country by mining their own gold. And that's an, for me, that's an interesting analogy. That's an interesting observation, not an analogy, but it's an interesting observation, because it's evidence that maybe there's something about the people making their own gold, making their own money. All right? Maybe there's something about that that was good for this country when it began and would be good right now, and it's being defeated by the monetary monopoly that's being run by the Federal Reserve and the central banks of the world. Should people be allowed to make their own money, Melody?
What do you think, Al?
Well, I think it worked well in the beginning of this country.
Well, you know, Zimbabwe, when inflation was roaring at, I don't know how many thousands of percents, I spoke to the children were actually going to the riverbeds and panning for gold so that their parents and grandparents could buy bread and food. They had very difficult, it was a very difficult time.
Yep.
And it didn't matter how hard they worked, how long they worked, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what wage they were getting paid, they couldn't buy bread. And but their saving grace was they were able to go down and pan for gold. And as long as those people who go around and shoot you and steal it from you didn't get it, you know, it's a very dangerous place. But
it's one of those things where you take your choice. Would you rather risk being shot
or
starving to death?
Yep.
You know, when you're faced with starvation, what choice do you have other than go out and pan some gold? Or whatever, but you've got to do something to survive. And it's not obvious, it's not apparent, and it's that the monetary monopoly enjoyed by the Federal Reserve has really helped this country. I mean, if you really looked at the record, have we really been helped by this monetary monopoly, or has it really condemned us to a very severe comeuppance? Maybe something, there is something about that Bitcoin, people are making their own money, right? It's a decentralized system. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. I'm not here in favor advocating Bitcoin, but I'm still saying that it's interesting to me that once upon a time we dug our own money up out of the ground, and or else we became productive. You wanted more gold? All right, you don't have any gold in your backyard or in the river where you're close by the pan. All right, then you need to build a better mousetrap. You need to work harder. You need to produce something that you can trade for gold. And you need to make it bigger or better or faster or whatever than what your competitors are, and you will get some gold. But you either had to be productive or you had to go out and mine that gold yourself and find it in the ground if you wanted to make more money. So we're back maybe to something like that. And I wonder how this is going to work out. Here's an article from Casey Research entitled, What Will Trigger Bitcoin's Collapse? It says, first, you can plan your life around governments doing everything they can to discourage Bitcoin and all the other private cryptocurrencies. That's because every government in the world is running deficits, often gigantic deficits. They're financing these deficits by printing paper fiat currency. It's national policy everywhere because it's supposed to stimulate the economy. They don't want to give up their monetary monopoly, so they're going to do what they can to quash Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. We'll experience monetary chaos in the future. At that time, They'll try to ban Bitcoin. They'll tell people they have to use a new national currency. Government will say that if you use Bitcoin, you're a money launderer, a drug dealer, or a child pornographer. So propaganda will be a major weapon. Penalties for using cryptocurrencies will be another problem. But Bitcoin will still be valuable. And that's because there are because three-quarters of the world's people live in the third world. These people use national currencies that are worth very little within their own countries and are worthless outside their countries. They will therefore continue to use Bitcoin. Still, there's trouble brewing. And here is he gets to what he thinks is the fundamental reason why Bitcoin has to go down and the cryptocurrencies. And it's an interesting perspective that I hadn't heard before. He says, Bitcoin is a wonderful thing, but what happens when somebody develops Bitcoin 2.0, a digital currency that uses better or different technology? What happens to the value of Bitcoin? Then it will collapse. All right? We've got Bitcoin right now. It's all the rage. But there are allegedly, I saw another report just last, who was it? It was, I can't think of his name. He used to be a partner of Soros. But he said there's 2,000 different cryptocurrencies available right now. It was just a couple hundred back 3-4 months ago. Then it went up to 1,000 or something like that, 1,200. Now it's 2,000 that they've got. They're coming up every day. We're having another cryptocurrency. But he says the value of these coins will collapse when a new and better technology appears, and it undoubtedly will. But that's not the main reason to be concerned about Bitcoin. It's the development of quantum computing power that poses a huge threat to Bitcoin. Now, some of you may have heard about quantum computers, and I have heard only, I've only heard it named, and it is a new technology that they're on the doorway of. They are just beginning to make this, find practical applications. They're just beginning to barely do that. But these quantum computers will be extraordinarily fast and compared to the computers we're using today. And what he says is that based on these quantum computers, the little computers that are making Bitcoin today will be obviated. I don't know what the word obviated means, but I suppose it means terminated. I don't know when quantum computing will become commercial or practical, but when it does, no code will be uncrackable. Right? And what that means is that all things digital will be vulnerable to theft and duplication. They are right now, right? But when we get quantum computers in our Xbox toys, people are going to be able, anything that is digital, digital currencies, digital credit cards, even digitized bank accounts, could become obsolete. You won't be able to protect it. All right, it'll be easily hacked into. There aren't going to be any codes that will protect them. No passwords will be sufficient to keep the hackers out. And that means that people will be looking for a non-digitized and non-digitizable medium to store their wealth. And that means gold and silver. You can't digitize gold. You can't digitize silver. All right, if you want to protect your gold and silver from computers in general and quantum computers in particular, you're going to want to store that wealth in something physical that is not subject to digitalization. And I thought that was an interesting I think it's an interesting argument. Don't know how fast quantum computers are going to appear on our markets. If I had to guess, 3 to 5 years, something like that. The problem is that government will get them first. And they'll be able to crack into whatever it is you think you've got hidden on your computer. They'll be able to break through whatever security you think you've got on your computer. Their quantum computers will be able to tap into your, you know, ordinary computers. It'll be child's play. And they'll be able to get into your stuff before you are able to access a quantum computer for yourself. Which, again, is evidence that maybe you don't want to store your wealth or your secrets or whatever else you've got that's private and precious to you. Maybe you don't want to store that in a digital format.
You know what's interesting, Al? You know, when you read these stories, you know, about this computer, that computer, this program, that program, you would think as we advance in the area of technology that they would be able to create unhackable programs, yeah, unhackable software. But and I can remember that was an issue. That was something that you would hear in the beginning of converting people to technology. Now, it's everyone accepts that this is a risk.
Yep.
The risk doesn't seem to matter to people because they would rather have the convenience, and it's almost the same thing, well, it's not going to happen to me type of thing. It's not going to happen to, you know, my money. It's not going to happen to my investments. It's not going to happen. And it is kind of interesting because it's you know, so it's all about bigger, faster, giving, you know, people more and more, and not necessarily any safer. And people don't even care about that anymore.
They will, though, when their computers get, you know, it depends on how big the problem is. I mean, we accept the idea. It's like once upon a time people advocated practicing safe sex. We are at a time when people are kind of advocating safe computing. But it can't be safe, really. It can't be. As long as these computers are convenient, the fact that they are convenient is exactly what makes them accessible to hackers. If it's easy enough for me to use, anybody who's sophisticated knows how to break
in. But my point is, the more advanced they become in technology, you would think they'd be able to create something that would make it a little bit more difficult. But they don't.
A little bit is a
little bit. It doesn't even seem like this is that they even attempt.
Well, I think it's because hackers have become more sophisticated and professional,
yeah,
as compared to what they were, say, 10 years ago. They were mostly annoying.
And
they would create a virus that would interfere with your computer. Boy, that makes me mad. They're not interested in interfering in your computer. Not really. They're not here like to spray signs on the wall like a graffiti artist. They're here to rob you. They want to get into your computer if that's where you keep the keys to your bank account, or that's where you keep one of these electronic wallets. That's what they're looking for. I don't think they care about sabotaging your system, per se. This is about the money. Show me the money.
Yeah.
You know, Willie Sutton, why do you hack into computers?
But the
people,
that's
where the money
the people
is.
Aren't demanding. The people don't care. It's part of the risk. It's just like, you know, when people lose a lot of money, and it's almost like they're, yeah, you know, I lost a lot of money in the collapse of this and this and this. It's almost the same thing. Well, I've been hacked. You know, it's almost like a status, a social status or something. I don't know.
Is there insurance for being hacked?
I'm sure commercially there probably is.
Maybe there is. Maybe there's not.
No.
We'll take a break. More commercials. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Now, well, so am I. Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adesker with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners, 2018, 1 ounce American Silver Eagles, free shipping for the month of December, 1-800-375-4188. You must buy 20 or more for the free shipping. Visit our website, dgscoins.com. Feels like it's Friday today. We've been rushing around to get everything completed before the weekend because of the holiday weekend, and so what I've completed in 4 days is usually what I complete in 6. So it's seems
it
like
goes
it's Friday.
To show what you could do, Melody, if you really wanted to buckle down. We just have to convince you that it's Christmas every coming Monday. Hypnosis or something. It's Christmas. You've got to get everything done by Friday.
No. It doesn't work that way.
It might. Nobody's tried it. I think it's a possible, you know.
You think?
Yeah, look into my eyes, you know, or watch my watch my pocket
watch. Pendulum,
go back and 1, 2, 3, 4. Count slowly back from 100.
Now pretend you're a chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right?
No. I will pretend I'm a rooster, maybe, but not a chicken. I have no ambition to be a chicken. Here's something from Cointelegraph, which, again, is a publication that is all about cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin in particular, but all of them. You know, anything that comes up, and they really do a good job. It's a nice little publication. Comes out every day with stacks of articles. I'll bet they average at least 10, 15 little articles every day. Great graphics.
Well, they have to. That's what makes people buy it.
Oh, maybe so.
It's the same way with the Iraqi dinar. You know, they come out every day with, 15 articles telling you that Iraq's ready to, to back their currency or whatever, and it's going to the moon. And that's what keeps people interested in it.
Well, here's one that's interesting. The headline is Litecoin Founder. So now he's the guy that created one of the cryptocurrencies called Litecoin. He says the Litecoin founder sells all his Litecoin but promises not to leave. He's selling his own product. He's dumping it. You understand? Litecoin founder Charlie Lee announced today on Reddit and Twitter that he has completely unloaded all of his Litecoin holdings via selling and donations. He wrote on Reddit, "For the first time in six years, I no longer own a single Litecoin that's not stored in a physical Litecoin. I do have a few of those as collectibles." According to his Reddit post, this amount Lee has sold was a small percentage of GDAX's daily volume and did not crash the market. All right, so the founder of Litecoin sold off his Litecoin, but it wasn't enough to crash the market. All right, but in theory, he's admitting that it is possible to crash the market. According to the announcement, Lee decided to sell all of his Litecoin because of potential for conflict of interest, given the influence his personal statements can have over the on the coin's price. So what he's saying essentially is this. He said, if I talk about Litecoin, people think I'm either trying to make the price go up or make the price go down, and he gets a lot of criticism about it from people who don't understand what he's doing, and he feels and obligated or entitled to say what he thinks. All right? This is his excuse on this. And he doesn't want people to get angry at him. because they think he's trying to move the market. And he says, no, I'm just commenting. That's all I'm doing. I'm just commenting. I'm not trying to move. And so if he gets rid of the Litecoin, they won't be able to charge him with a conflict of interest, and it will be presumed that he's just giving his own opinion and he's not trying to manipulate the markets. Now, the way I look at that is, if I were sitting on a stack of Bitcoin, for example, and I was in a position where I could speak about Bitcoin and the market might go up or down depending on what I said, and a bunch of people wrote to me and said, you stop that. You stop talking about Bitcoin. I would not sell my Bitcoin. All right? I would not sell my Bitcoin because people are criticizing me for making comments about my Bitcoin. I'd say, no, I'm going to hang on to it unless I think it's hit a peak, in which case, yeah, I probably would. So I'm looking at the story of this guy, Mr. Lee, who invented Litecoin, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy's probably going to do well in the world because he seems, despite what he's saying, that he's doing this just to prevent people from criticizing him, it seems to me that, and maybe he's telling the truth, maybe that's exactly what the truth of the matter is, but it seems at least possible to me that he's sitting there and say, wait a second, this has gone as big, this has gone just about as big as it's going to go, and which incidentally, Litecoin price has been increased almost 300% in the past month, up from $71 on November 20th to that would be $220 some now. I think he's just saying, look, this is the sell high moment. I think he's looking at, I'm going to preserve my wealth. I'm going to get out of cryptocurrency. I'll still talk about it. I'll still help people with it and rest, that sort of thing. But I am going to bail while the bailing is good and capture my profits because I think we're coming to the end of the line on this. That's the way I would interpret it. That's not what he says he's doing, and he may be telling the truth about that. But still, when you see somebody who founded one of these cryptocurrencies that's doing pretty well, it's not the same thing as Bitcoin, but just the same, 300% improvement in 1 month, pretty good. And in 6 years he's been doing this, this had to start out at a fraction of a cent, and now it's over $200 a Litecoin. He's got to have some serious money now, you would think. And he appears to be, he essentially bought low and he's selling high. Bought low when it was a fraction of a cent a coin, and now he's selling it when it's a couple hundred dollars a coin. And if he's got that principle and he understands it and he can apply it, seems to me he'll do well investing in the future.
Well, he walked away with what, $2.5 million? You know, nothing to sneeze at, but $7,500 shares for being the owner of a company. So $7,500, the shares were
200.
Well, he ended today at three. I'm based that on 319. Did he sell at 200?
I don't know. I'm just speculating on what prices they were talking about.
I did it at 300.
I don't know what price was.
You know, yeah, if you do $7,500 at you're looking at, you know, $2.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Not bad. So what do you think he's going to be doing with his time?
You know what? I really don't.
I'll bet she's got another coin in mind.
I really don't care. Probably.
I'm going to dump Litecoin because I got one that's even better. And I'm going to start this one out, and I'm going to buy it big time up front. And when it comes time to sell out, you know, I'm just speculating. I don't know whether that's true or false. But it's an interesting story when you sell out your product that you could make millions of dollars on. You might be able to make millions more, and you get rid of it because you don't like people criticizing you. This is like Jamie Dimon, you know, Bank of America, or wherever he's working, one of the big banks. Is he going to quit because he gets a little flack from the public? Going after that third corporate jet aircraft, Melody. We don't need to pay attention to the public. Take their criticism and stick it.
I'll bet this guy probably goes in and buys Bitcoin and it'll lose it all. He probably's not going to create another one. He probably thinks he can start trading them.
Well, I don't know what he's going to do.
He thinks he's knowledgeable enough that he can go in there and start trading. I'll bet he loses it all.
Well, maybe so. I don't know. I don't know what he's really thinking. It's just a peculiar story that someone who's got a couple million dollars has decided to cash in. He's the owner of he's the creator of the coin, and he's cashing in. You can come up with a bunch of excuses why that's happening, but I don't think any of them sound as probable as the idea that he is selling high, or at least he thinks he's at or near the sell high moment, and he's going to capture his profits. No, that's my preferred speculative opinion.
All right,
you can
well.
That if you want, Melody.
Okay, I'll write that down. But you know, with all the tax refunds coming around and people saving money, maybe they'll be able to get ahead of their auto payments. Subprime auto defaults are soaring, and private equity firms have no way out. Private equity firms plunged headlong into subprime auto lending, and now they're just discovering, hey, this might be a little hard to get out of this mess. A Perella Weinberg Partners fund has been sitting on an IPO of flagship credit acceptance for 2 years as bad loan write-offs push it into the red. Blackstone Group LP, they've struggled to make Exeter Finance profitable despite sinking almost $500 million into the lender since 21, shaking up the C-suite multiple times. And Wall Street bankers and private say others would love to cash out too, but there's currently no market. Gee, surprise, surprise, there's no market for such exits.
There's no market for bonds or promises to pay that aren't going to be paid?
Delinquency,
this is shocking, Melody.
Shocking, I tell you, shocking. Delinquencies on subprime loans made by non-bank lenders are soaring. This is actually from Bloomberg, toward a crisis level. So perhaps maybe with the savings that they will have in their weekly paycheck, maybe subprime loans will mellow out. What do you think, Al?
I don't think so. I think of the, it's one of those things. If you can't afford to make the payments on your first home, you probably won't be able to afford to make the payments on your second, more expensive home. There are people in the world, subprime, being a subprime borrower is not just a characteristic of people that are on a hard time, but they are potential millionaires. You're subprime for a reason. You're subprime because your values are such that you probably don't really care about paying your bills. And it won't matter if you don't pay your bills for $1,000 a month on your mortgage or $100,000 a month on your mansion. You're not any more likely to pay the one than you are to pay the other. And that's not true for everyone, but I think it might be true for a lot. So I don't care what they do. I think if you're dealing with sub, if you're going to lend money to people who are habitual in not repaying their debts, you can't sit back and say, gee, I'm surprised and I'm shocked that I didn't get my money back. I mean, if they're identified as subprime lenders, right? This is like taking walking through the park with someone that you know to be a mugger. All right? Just going to take a walk through the park with a couple of people that are muggers. I know they're muggers, but what could happen? We're buddies, we're pals. Now you're going to get your head knocked off. All right? And if you're dumb enough to take a walk in the park with some muggers, you can't complain if you get mugged. If you're dumb enough to lend money to people that are subprime borrowers, you shouldn't be surprised if you don't get your money back. This isn't surprising. This isn't shocking. If you're dumb enough to do it at all, you got to pay the price. And then you have to wonder, why were they so foolish in the first place? Where did we get the subprime mortgages? Where did that concept come from? Where did we get subprime borrowers for automobiles? Where did that concept come from? With the mortgages, I know what it was. The government reduced interest rates, and they made it possible for the banks to make subprime loans because the government, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, promised to buy the loan instrument. They'd pay them a percentage on the face value of whatever the loan was, and they'd pay the bank that percentage. They could give a mortgage to a subprime borrower right now, and I know of at least one instance where they turned around and they found out the borrower, she wasn't subprime, but she found out later that they sold her mortgage, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, whoever, but it was sold within hours of when she signed it. and the bank made a percentage off the mortgage right then. They didn't carry it for 30 years. They made a percentage right then. None of it was satisfactory to the bank, and the bank kept on selling these mortgages because they could dump them on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or whoever. And then it turned out that, oops, the mortgages, the subprime mortgages, turned out to be subprime. At a high default rate, and one thing led to another, and we had the financial crisis of 2007-2008. Very nearly collapsed the world economy. And yet they do it again with cars. You know, these people are compulsive gamblers in their own way. They are as desperate as the people you talked about in Zimbabwe that sent their children off to pan gold. They're desperate. And that makes them foolish. And it puts all of us in jeopardy, probably. At least it would seem logical. Suppose that's true. And it also creates, if you see this and you agree with that analysis, then it creates your obligation. You got to protect yourself. If you don't want to send your kid down to the river to pan for gold, you need to get some now. Store it up before it's necessary to get your pan and go down to the creek. We're out of time, folks. I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my